بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tonight's short majlis, we hope to discuss the important aspects which Hazrat Mufti Lajpuri rahmatullahi alayh, Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri rahmatullahi alayh, was from Gujarat, India, a very renowned Mufti, Fatawa Rahimiyya was his works, 3 volumes of Fatawa, it's even translated into English, was a very great Mufti. And in this little majlis of his, or in this book of his, which was titled Wabale Ilahi Ki Asbab or Unka Ilaj, the reasons for Allah Ta'ala's anger and ways for its remedy. This was actually a question posed to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, and in reply to that, it turned out to be a little booklet. Somebody had asked, in fact, the ulama had asked him, to shed light upon the factors behind Muslim distress and suffering all over the world. Muslims are facing riots, massacres at many places. Why is this? The exact same question which he answered a few years ago, many years ago. In fact, this book was printed in 1999. So already before that, a similar question was posed to Hazrat Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Rahmatullahi Alayh, and he gave beautiful answers, and they are self-explanatory. They don't require much explanation. Simple to understand, applies to all of us. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, because currently we are going through a great crisis. We're going through great difficulties, and we see around us in the entire world the stage for the Dajjali fitna has already been set. Look around us, the vice, the level of the vice and evil that is being perpetrated throughout the globe. Such terrible crimes are taking place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ahkamat are being totally ignored, broken, violated. Filth is taking place in the world. If we really ponder and reflect, what is happening is that our minds, our thinking is actually being manipulated in a certain way of thinking. It's been done in a very subtle way. Many of us won't understand, and we'll only understand when it is too late. The minds, the power of thinking, the fikr that we have, the thoughts that we have, our thoughts, thoughts of our wives, our family members, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, relatives, neighbors, the entire world is being manipulated to move in a certain way of thinking and direction. And everything is in our hands. The same gadgetry that is being used and utilized to take us into that way, that's in our pockets, in our hands, all the time. A young little child, small child, just a few years old, he knows, she knows, little toddler, without any exaggeration, just observe the parent and grandparent, they know exactly, just move your fingers like this, and you move on to the next page, the next image. They've been glued to this. And there is a certain thing behind this, which is manipulating a way of thinking, a way of life, our whole way of life. Myself included, Allah forgive me, Allah remove us from our weaknesses and the darkness that we are going through. Only Allah knows best what is going to be taking place next. My maqsad of this is not to create any distress in our hearts and remorse and sadness and depression. No. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, a few years now, every single majlis and bayan, we only give hope in the mercy of Allah. Hope in the mercy of Allah, and we'll continue inshallah. But now and then we need a little bit of medication, injection, to bring us, to make us think properly. Hazrat Mawlana Abdullah Qapoodi rahmatullahi alayhi, who was the rector, the principal of Falah-e Dareen, in that Geshwar where many of our ulama studied. In fact, we had Mawlana Ayub Surti the other day. So all of them were in that madrasa. And he was the principal, and he had written many kitab, and he was a very, very great alim, well known amongst many, many ulama and scholars throughout the world, amongst the Arabs as well. And he should always say, Al-Ghazw al-Fikri, the jihad of the thoughts, attacking the thoughts, the minds. So with all the gadgetry we have and different apps that we have, and outwardly it seems so easy to be able to do this function and that function. So I'm not saying again now that don't use a cell phone, because everybody is going to use a cell phone, I myself included. But use it in the correct way. Don't become such that you cannot survive without your cell phone. How often is happening now to us? Exactly what's happening, load shedding. Now your battery is dead. Now you are in panic. Why? Because I can't make a call, I can't send a message. I'm stuck. Oh, you forgot your phone at work. Oh, you forgot your phone at home. Now you're gone to work. Oh, what am I going to do today? We become so dependent on these things. And this is way, one way of taking us away, away, away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back. Our grandparents, our parents. Few years back, before all this thing came into our amidst us, nobody depended on all these things. The wife told you in the morning, get bread, milk, this, potatoes, onions, get the vegetables, and we brought it without anybody reminding us. When we were in school, when the calculator came out, then we realized, before we should learn the timetable by heart and things like that, and everybody was so good and so sharp, and the moment the calculator came out and became now so easy for us, but it stopped us from being able to apply that aql that Allah has given us and the quwwat of memorizing, memory. So our memories became weak. At this very moment, if you go to Mauritania, if you go to those places in the desert areas, it's a living miracle. Right in the desert areas, there's no electricity, nothing. You're just living in a tent. That too, you are bitten by some insects all the time. I've met people who have given the experiences, and we know about it. Where the ulama, they teach the children and teach the adults, and whoever comes in those classes in the scorching heat, hardly any food, there's no water, and difficult conditions, and they learn the Quran by the slate. Something which you cannot understand until you don't see it. Until you see it. The ustad writes out in a slate the entire sabak, half a page, one page. He teaches it to the child. The child goes, like how we have a chalkboard, it's written. And then the child learns. And he comes and he hamrawas that sabak to the ustad. He reads, he recites to the ustad. Then there is erased. And they write another one, another sabak. Believe me, I have seen Mauritanian scholars, ulama, who not only learned the Quran by heart and perfected it, a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the train, the line of the sanad, the isnad, they would rattle out who they heard the hadith from, who that person heard the hadith from, right to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any hesitation. So right till this very day, see, they are not using any gadgetry. And Allah has given them a powerful memory. Again, Allah Ta'ala has made life easy for us. So what we will say, use it in the correct ways. Do not become dependent on all these things. And worse than this, the things that are projected, the things that are shown to us, the things that appear on your computer screen, the things that appear on your cell phone screen, the things that are available and accessible to you, which was never, never, never accessible to any one of us before. A little child, a masoom child, is there in front of him. He can press one button and he can have access to whatever he wishes to see and do. A very sad thing to mention is And many are now losing the iman. Different type of doubts are coming to their minds, and I mentioned so many times two things that the mashayikh have stressed, and they have said these are the fundamental illnesses and weaknesses of the heart. Shubuhat and shahwat. Shubuhat, doubts. Person who start doubting the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will doubt regarding the purity of the Qur'an, the miracle of the Qur'an, the sharia, ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This entire deen, the person will completely reject because he will have many questions and doubts regarding it. And how these doubts have come into his mind? Mainly through the internet. And because he did not come to the right person at the right time, and he became adamant, and he persisted in this type of belief, system, ideology, he moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gives him respite. Allah gives him chances. Many chances will happen. But if this person becomes obstinate and stubborn, or she becomes obstinate and stubborn, Allah forbid, Allah protect me, protect our friends, protect all of us, our family members, our children, our grandchildren, our entire nasal and progeny, from losing the iman. Shak, doubts, different types of things. And shaitan, the moment he sees a little bit of weakness in you, then he will try his level best. He will bring more and more doubts. He will make you think of this. How can this be possible? How can this be? It's impossible for this to happen. Miraj, Rasulullah went on Buraq, an animal, and he went to Baitul Muqaddis, and then he went to the seven skies. Impossible. See, iman is at stake. And the other one is shahwat, where we have carnal desires and you don't control this. So both these things, especially in this zamana, shubuhat, doubts. A youngster reads some article, and because it came from one site, which he saw, and he becomes so convinced, that immediately he becomes gullible and he falls prey into this. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah protect us. And therefore, you see Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, we'll just run through this briefly. And if Allah give us tawfiq, then the next majlis, which will be next month, inshallah. If Allah give us hayat, tawfiq, and sihat, and afiyat, Allah protect us, then inshallah we'll continue. But for tonight, just a little bit of food for thought. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, Rahmatullah, said there are several reasons for the sad state of affairs in the Ummah. Amongst the more prominent ones are the following. And he listed a few. Number one, lack of true faith in Allah Ta'ala. Yaqeen in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We hear in Jamaat, bayans are given, yaqeen in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Having that firm certitude, conviction in Allah Ta'ala's power, Allah's might, Allah's grandeur. We say Allah is the one who is providing for us. It's not just saying it, it's believing that Allah is ar-razaq. Risk is only in His hands, and in the manner in which Allah has placed the rozi, the asbab, we make use of it, but ultimately it is only Allah who sustains us. Now this, we will go through various tests in this world. Allah will test us. So that rosy somehow it seems is not coming to you. And you're not getting the job. You're not lasting in the job. You just get a job and after that something else happens and then you're out and you're looking for something else and you can't. And you just see, nothing is coming right for me and I'm making dua. What's happening? One person told me, when I was coming to the masjid I was still getting problems and now too I'm still getting problems. What's the difference? Allah tests us. Yaqeen in Allah. Allah is our Khaliq. He is Allah. Most powerful. And that is why we make zikrullah, to remind us of the greatness of Allah. We say, la ilaha, nafi, illallah, only Allah. So yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lack of true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one. So if this is solid, your iman is solid, your Islam is solid, you know, it is only Allah, and we are going to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we are answerable to Allah ta'ala, and the day of hashr and qiyamah, so automatically you will have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when there's a doubt, and your yaqeen in Allah is weak, then everything attached to it becomes weak. So Sharia you don't even bother about. Quran, Hadith, dur ki baat. Number two, increase disobedience toward Allah. Allah forgive us. Increase disobedience. Person disobeys and he makes tawbah istighfar. What's happening now? We are disobeying Allah, but we are justifying the wrong that we are doing. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we look for a fatwa and we will find it to justify, to give us some proof, some dalil, that what we're doing is correct. And we'll find that some mufti will give us that some fatwa. So, increase disobedience to Allah. Allah said, do not do this, do not go near that. This is harmful for you, this is haram for you. We are just moving more and more and more, doing it very brazenly, as though Allah does not exist. So we got no fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite in this way. This is called istidraj. Allah will carry on giving you chance and chance and chance. So you're enjoying your comfort, your luxury and your whatever you have, the pleasures of this world. And you're not finding any musibat coming upon you, any azab. So you feel, see, everything is okay, everything is fine. This happens when Allah is putting you, giving you that rope and respite. Number three, increasing timidity amongst us. In other words, we don't have that rawb and the awe that once we had. Doesn't mean the Sharia is not telling us to kill a non-Muslim. No. Nobody says, take the sword and start killing everybody. No ways. But the rawb that a Muslim has, that awe that he had in the past, is now became weaker and weaker and weaker, and no longer you have become a sheep instead of being a lion. They heard the name Umar only. Umar. But right in Persia and Rome, the person is shuddering and shaking. So this rawb is gone. Love of dunya. Hub of dunya. We have become so attached, so attached, so attached. Day and night, the tasbih that we are reading is rands and pounds and dollars. All the time. Stock exchange, stock market. What's happening? Things are bad. It's all around, centered around dunya, 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 dunya. Such an attachment that in our salat also, our mind is in our business, mind is in our factory, mind is on a sale, mind is on some deal. After namaz, we need to meet that person. Our meeting in the masjid, for what purposes? But I meet you after salat, why? We'll finish the deal. So the place of ibadat, where a person is supposed to say la to everything and make sujood before Allah, our entire mind is only preoccupied in those things. And therefore, respected brothers and sisters, and our mothers and sisters, we find that when you hear, and not just hear, when we see, and if you deal with such cases where a person is doing his own real brother down or sister down, or his Muslim friend down, or even if it's a non-Muslim customer, you're deceiving, you are cheating. Why are you deceiving? Why are you cheating? Because of your love for that world, that the worldly attachment you have, you cannot share, you cannot pass it on to somebody else. You want the entire thing for yourself, you begin to amass wealth, you begin to hoard wealth, you become a bakhil, a kanjus, you become greedy, avarice, sets into your heart, greed comes into your heart becomes engulfed with this type of illness. And I want all, I want everything, I'm not going to give anything to any person. I want everything for myself. And we see this in the world, rulers in the world, same thing. So this corruption. You will deceive, you will cheat, you'll be disloyal, you'll lie. You'll make excuses. May Allah forgive us, may Allah protect us. And then open disobedience of sunnah for Rasulullah s.a.w. We talk about sunnah. Let's ask ourselves how much of sunnah we have in our lives. How much of sunnah do we know this is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A few aspects which suits us, mashallah. And I find it very common, mashallah, when we're eating, the question will be, is sunnah to eat sweet before or after? But Mawlana, you didn't eat the sweet, isn't it supposed to eat it? Isn't it sunnah? Mashallah, well and good. Yes, every sunnah is extremely important and no person should make, look down upon any sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu. No matter how big it may be, no matter how small it might be in our eyes, but every sunnah is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And among the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not to have malice in the heart. And that's the sunnah Rasulullah told Anas radiallahu anhu, ya buniyya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahadin, faf'al wa dhalika min sunnati wa man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'iya fil jannah. Malice in the heart. Besides, there's so many other important things. Zahiri sunnah. Your beard, your libas, your batini sunnah. So open disobedience the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we will try to make our images and our outward appearance like all those people who hate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All those people who hate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then following our own practices and customs. And this is when innovation comes. So whatever our understanding is, a certain ritual that was happening in our family from Bab Dada's time, grandfather's time, and we continue that practice, not even knowing that this is against the Sharia. So from the time the child is born, we start all those practices, the child is growing, and he continues in our family. And he said, no, it's a part of everybody should do it. There's so many aspects which are bid'ah, and therefore we should refrain from it. Then he says, neglecting the rights of Allah and the rights of creation. Huququllah, huququl ibad. Huququllah, salat, zakat, hajj, etc. Huququl ibad, your monetary transactions, things that you have, for example, husband and wife, the rights the wife has over you, the husband has over you, your parents have over you, your children have over you, your elders in society have over you. So people have rights over us. Your creditors, they have rights over you. All these rights, when we do not fulfill these rights, we neglect these rights, and this also brings about the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al Mufti Sahib went into some detail afterwards, but tonight I said it's a short majlis just to create some little bit of fikr, some consciousness, some worry, because what is happening? Where are we going? And we will talk about it, we will see things are heavy and we need to do something, but wallah, Allah forgive me, how much is being done positively? Hardly anything. We will have all those mashuras and we'll consult one another and we'll discuss it and we'll have different bayans also. But when it comes to practical solution, let us ask ourselves, are we bringing any practicality in our lives? So inshallah ourselves, we've heard this, start from ourselves. Don't go and change your wife tonight and change your child and everybody, give everybody a bayan. So we need to first look at ourselves and start from there. And then inshallah, then we start with our family members, etc., everybody else, slowly, slowly. But we must become model example. Allah make me also, and make all of us that. We have weaknesses, everybody has weakness, nobody is perfect. So there'll be this time when we'll fall, and we'll stand up again, and we'll make some mistake, and Allah protect us. Then he says, our complete ingratitude towards the innumerable blessings showered upon us by our benefactor, despite being totally unworthy of these blessings. We don't make qanaat, we don't make shukr, genuine shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the countless of bounties He has bestowed upon us. The only time we realize the importance of light is when there's load shedding. Which day we thank Allah Ta'ala for giving us light? When the sun is rising and we see the sun, mashallah. Do we ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Never. We didn't bother about the real source of light. So only when we affect it and the ni'mat is gone away. Allah protect us. Ask the man who is in the machine. Life is going away. He's gasping. He cannot breathe. Ask him the value of being able to inhale that oxygen easily. A man who could not pass urine. Ask him now. What is the ni'mat of being able to pass easily? So, we have ingratitude towards the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, disregard for the selfless advice given to us by our noble ulama in relation to our deen. MashaAllah, people like you sitting here, all pious people, inshallah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attached to the masjid, coming for majlis, listening to various bayanat. I know some friends may be sitting here also, have just come from some program. Again, they're sitting in a program. They have that nisbah to deen, ulama. They like to learn. They like to change their lives, etc., which is excellent. Allah increase you. But generally, we find in the ummah, there is this disregard. And this is creeping into the lives of our youngsters, the youth. Now they do not want to listen to the ulama. So exactly, you go back to that gadgetry where so many sites are open to you. Why must you go listen to that Maulana in the masjid? You got everything here. And see this one, you thought it was haram, it's halal, man. You can do it this way. Why must you go through all the difficulty? You see, shaitan will manipulate. This is what he wants. Basically, respected brothers and elders and our mothers, shaitan does not want to go into Jahannam alone. He wants to take many, many, many people with him. He took a qasam in this. Took qasam in the might of Allah. Shaitan took a vow. Imagine, such a mardood he is. Allah removed him from Jannah. Instead of asking Allah for forgiveness, he takes a qasam in Allah. That I will now mislead man. I'll stand in his path. I will sit in his pathway. And I will mislead insan. Allah says, you have got no power. I accept those people who follow you. Allah protect us. To disregard for the selfless advice given to us by our noble ulama in relation to our deen. But the alim is giving you some nasihat. Why? Because of his love for you. He's not giving you some medication just to make you see you suffer. In which doctor, the person is sick and he gives him that medicine when you were small, the cough medicine or when you had some flu or whatever, they should give you the syrup, the black syrup it was, and so bitter and so sour. And after that he gives you a lollipop. So he doesn't want to see you suffering. He loves you. But Shaitan will tell you that these people, they are different, they are all age and they've got this. So don't go near them. So when you disregard this, these are the things that will happen. And then Hazrat Mufti Sahib then when expound on this, he said, Allah Ta'ala sums up the reasons for our suffering in one or two surahs, in one or two verses. He says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ. Allah is saying this. No alim is saying this. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Whatever misfortune happens to you, whatever calamity befalls you, it is because of the things your hands have earned, your own doings. And for many of them, Allah grants forgiveness. When you are sincere, tawbah, inabat ilallah, Allah wipes out all those sins, as though you did not even commit it. And the second verse which I mentioned in the beginning, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Mischief has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of man have caused. That Allah may give them a taste of some of the deeds in order they may come back from evil. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. This is what Allah wants. This is what the doctor in the world wanted, that patient to become well again, to become healthy again. From a sick condition, he must come back to a healthy condition which he enjoyed previously. This is what Allah wants. That you went, you were good, everything was moving well, you went into evil, now come back to God, to good. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. This is called ruju. This is called return. Allah wants you to come back to Him. Allah not sending you anywhere else. Allah does not want us, any one of us, to go to Jannah. Allah wants all of us to go to Jannah. But Allah gave us a choice. Is Jannah, is Jahannam. And then of course, Hazrat Mufti Sahib then explained that this severe punishment for certain types of sins, and which we have discussed many, many times, when a person doesn't weigh and give proper measure, and when he's giving a person some item, then there's some reject item, or when there's zulam taking place, oppression in different ways, then all these things are a cause for azab of Allah Ta'ala coming. This is a hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this hadith, when we first read it, we believed that that was the time, and now it's becoming more and more intense, and we can see it more and more openly to us. And may you must have heard this hadith before, which Rasulullah mentioned, يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يُمَئِذٍ قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ وَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ وَلَا يَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهْنَ. قَالُوا وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Rasul said that soon يُوشِكُ الْأُمَمُ, different nations will gather and they will call one another. So all of them will come to closer, and they will call one another against you, O Muslims. Like how people are eating some food and they call one another to join them to partake of the meal, or the mother calls the children. So one call and they all have a summit, a conference, and they're all sitting, and the main agenda is against you. Sahaba asks, وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يُمَيْذٍ. Will it be because we'll be few in number? قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ كَثِيرٌ. Plenty in numbers. It's throughout the world. So many billions. But you'll be غُثَى. غُثَى is the debris the remains of flood. After a flood comes, the dirt that remains, the scum that remains, has got no worth, no significance whatsoever. It is filth. Ghutha. Ghutha is sail. And Allah, وَلَا يَنْزِي عَنَّ اللَّهُ مِن صُدُورِ عَدُوِكُمْ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. Exacting what Mufti Sahib mentioned first, that all you once enjoyed, the enemy would respect you. Now that respect will be gone from the hearts. That awe, the fear is gone from the hearts. So they won't care about you. And therefore, we see in today's time, that they will massacre the Muslims in the thousands. Few people make some noise here and there. And it just continues and continues and continues. وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهْنِ. And Allah will put in your hearts, O Muslims, الْوَهْنِ. Sahaba asked, what is wahn, Ya Rasulullah? قَالَ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ مَوْتِ. Love for this dunya and dislike of maut. Yeah, but maut, I'm not ready now. I still want to live. I got a lot of things to do. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا. Love of this world. And not ready to die. Dislike of death. Creating fear in the hearts of the enemies, which is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala, can only be achieved through adopting the pious life prescribed by the Sharia and by following the practical life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this in hadith. He says, whosoever emulates my way of life and adheres to my sunnah, Allah will bless him with four favors. Number one, the love of such a person will be instilled into the heart of the pious people. Pious people will love you. When you follow Quran and hadith and sunnah, then the Ahlullah will love you. Number two, sinners and disbelievers will have that awe for such a person in their hearts. Number three, your livelihood, your rozi, and good fortune will be increased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah will strengthen him in his deen. Allah will strengthen him in his deen. My respected brothers and sisters, as I promised, a short majlis, if Allah give us tawfiq, we will just revise this main point again and we'll continue further what Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Ramza has written in this. And then he's given some ilaj and prescription, and the main one he's mentioned again, number one was turn to Allah Ta'ala. Turn to Allah Ta'ala. Cry, beg before Allah. Ask Allah for sincere forgiveness. Tawbah istighfar. The tawbah must not be a customary tawbah. Just tawbah. Tawbah balab. Just by means of our tongue, our lips. Tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. Real, genuine, sincere tawbah, which we have discussed thousands of times, and Mashayikh keep on mentioning ahmiyat of tawbah, the manner of making tawbah. We must be sincere. And a person who is sincere, I always mention, you take the baby steps towards Allah, Allah comes running to you. Then Allah opens things for you. Allah gives you tawfiq to bring more a'mal. Allah Ta'ala give you all that, your rozi becomes easy for you. People will start loving you. Allah will put your muhabbat in the hearts of not only the normal people, the Ahlullah will begin to love you. All we need to do is turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, some of the things we haven't even mentioned, when music will become rife and singing, and we see concerts taking place everywhere. All this has been mentioned in the kitabs. Exact things that are happening everywhere, it's there. And we are thinking that everybody else is doing it, but our own people, our own family members, Allah protect us again. Allah, nobody is free from doing anything wrong or being misled. Allah protect us. Always make dua. Allah keep me on iman. Protect me. Protect my iman. Why you think mashayikh cry and make the dua? Iman ki hifazat farma. Iman ki hifazat farma. Deen ki hifazat farma. Madaris, makatib, tablighi jamaat, sab ki hifazat farma. They didn't just make the dua for no reason. They could see. They could feel. They understood the importance. If these things are all gone, then your deen is going to suffer. Carry on making dua for your children and grandchildren and your progeny. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Keep on making this dua. Allah will make your children, your progeny, the coolness of your eyes. You will find them in those places you wish them to be, in the good places. You won't see them doing this wrong thing. And if they went, Allah will bring them very quickly again. May Allah not test any one of us. Those people who are being tested, may Allah remove the difficulties. Allah grant them afiyat. Simple today, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the little way we can do, we make any guna, mistake, tawbah, istighfar, and let us try and rectify our life before it becomes too late. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.